Evening. It's nice. It does seem like morning, doesn't it? We had a great sermon this morning, and I want to pick up on something that Brother Johnson looked at, and that is repentance. Repentance. Now, when you look at Bible and you read the Bible, Jesus, on various sermons, talked about repentance. Now, we don't have time tonight to go through all the scriptures, but I want you all to bear with me. I'm going to take about four sets of scriptures. I'm going to read them through first, and then we're going to look at them. Not so much in detail, but I want us to take note of what is being preached in each of these lines of scriptures. Also, another important thing I want us to focus in on is the theme in all the scriptures that I'm going to read. And even more importantly, something else that we're going to hit on is the people that are being talked to in all the scriptures. That's important. So I'm going to start with Matthew 3, 1 and 2. Matthew 3, 1 and 2. And this is a statement about John the Baptist and his ministry. And it reads, "Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now let's look at Matthew 4, 12 to 17. This is a statement about Jesus' ministry. And it reads, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, let's look at the statement from Mark about Jesus' ministry. "Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching to the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Now, here's a statement from Mark about Jesus Christ sending his disciples on a limited. This is the limited commission. And it's taken in Mark 6, 7 to 12. And it reads, "And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bags, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, 'Do not put on two tunics.' And he said to them, 'Whatever you or wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them.' They went out and preached that men should repent." Men should repent. Now, there's a lot more, but as I said, time does not permit. Now, the theme of the word that I'm going to concentrate on is repentance. The word repent focuses on a very simple concept. And what concept is that? It simply talks about a change in a person that produces a redirection in your life. That's what repentance is all about. A change in a person that then produces a redirection in your life. A redirection for the good. Now, genuine biblical repentance involves something much more than saying, "I'm sorry." You know, I'm talking to the saints, so we all know this. We know this. Matter of fact, this reminds me of a story of a preacher coming into town for a gospel meeting. Now, way back when, gospel meetings used to go on for like 3 or 4 weeks. You know, now it's weekend. But it used to be long. And so he got this preacher in, and so he preached. First night, he preached on repentance. Second night, repentance. Third night, repentance. And they started on Monday through all 7 days. So after the first week of preaching on repentance, The brothers of the congregation got together and they brought the minister to, and they sat down. You know, we love the sermons. We love the sermons. You're preaching great sermons on repentance. But are you going to talk about anything else? He says, sure, as soon as y'all repent. As soon as y'all repent. So it simply means more than simply saying, I'm sorry. You know, we hear stories like, or statements like, I'm sorry I got caught. Now, that's not repentance. Why are you sorry? You're sorry you got caught. Had you not got caught, you'd still be doing what you're doing. So that's not repentance. I'm sorry I have to pay the consequences. Now, if you didn't have to pay the consequences, once again, you wouldn't be sorry. Or I regret that I will lose. Now, if you didn't lose, then you wouldn't be sorry for whatever act that causes you to be lost. Now, the thing is, repentance that's discussed in the Bible basically involves two basic concepts or two things we need to consider. Number one, and I'll just paraphrase here, it says, I realize that my life, and this is us talking. We say this when we repent. Or this is what we should say when we repent. I realize my life has been going in the wrong direction, and I want to change the direction of my life. The key word is there is want. You got to want to do this. Or number two, I appreciate God so much, I want God to inform me about the direction my life should take. Now, the thing is, we put life or we put God in the center of our repentance. Conversion must be based on a person's desire to direct his or her life in God's direction. That's true repentance. Repentance is a faith in God and Jesus Christ. That's the type of response that we have. It basically declares that a person has such appreciation for what God did and does in Jesus Christ that he or she wants God to determine how they should live. See, it's all about God, how we please God. That's why godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow. No, I'm not sorry I get caught. I'm not sorry that I'm going to lose. I'm not sorry I have to pay the consequences. I'm truly, genuinely sorry because I heard God. And not because I got caught. Sometimes you don't get caught. Sometimes you don't get caught. Sometimes you can get away with some stuff. But the fact is, true repentance means you truly feel that you've hurt God. Remember, if you look at, you have to look at this. I want to say Isaiah 51. Is that when, I'm thinking of Psalms. Psalm 51. When David said, against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned. That's David. Notice he did not mention Bathsheba. This is the sin he committed against Bathsheba. And David committed murder when he had Uriah killed. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. Remember the prodigal son when he went back to his father? He met his father. And the first words out of his mouth, I have sinned against God. And I've sinned against you. That's two beautiful examples of what true repentance is. Because I appreciate God so much, I want God to inform me about the direction my life should take. Now, this evening, I want to call your attention to two facts. Fact number one. Now, all those readings, and this is an important thing. Remember I said that we got to look at who is talking. And we know in many instances it was the apostles, or basically it was Jesus Christ, who they were talking to and what was the subject matter. You know, the subject matter was what? Repentance. Repentance. Now, the key thing is, who were they talking to? All of these people believed. Now, understand that they were talking to Jewish people, bottom line. So that answers that question. They were talking to Jewish people. Now, everyone that was talked to believed that Jesus, or believed that God was Jehovah. They believed in one God and one God only. They also believed that the person should keep the commandments of God. They also should believe that they were the people of God. Because when Jesus went out, he sent his disciples out, he sent them to the sheep. You know, when he saw the lost sheep of Israel, he sent them to the Jewish people. And first to the Jews and then to the Greeks. So the primary message that Jesus was talking when Jesus was on the earth was given to the Jews. Now, there are a couple of Gentiles picking up some crumbs on the side, You know, about the woman sitting there and asked Jesus, you know, give us bread. He says, no, the bread is not meant for dogs. It's kind of a rough statement, but she made a statement. Hey, even the dogs at the table wanting the crumbs. And he talked about how great that woman's faith was. But primarily, he was talking to Jews. Now, understand real quickly that in the Old Testament, there was a lot of idol worship. By the Jews would always fall into idol worship. But when you get in the New Testament, that's not a problem anymore. The Jews don't have a problem of, forming graven images and bowing down to them. They believed in the one true God. They believed that they were the people of God. They believed that they should keep the commandments of God. Yet and still, in all of these messages, they were told to repent. You know what? That's like Jesus coming into our assembly on a Sunday or even tonight and getting up in front of us and saying, you all need to repent. As I look out, I would determine most of us, if not all of us, have been saved, have obeyed the gospel, have been baptized, understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, understand that no man can come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. I believe that, you know, we all understand that concept. And so it's like Jesus standing in front of us and telling us, you need to repent. So this is the audience he's talking to. Not talking to a bunch of people that rebel rouse and cuss. And see, we have to understand that it's easy for me to point the finger to the people out there. Well, at least I'm in the Lord's church. At least I come to church on Sunday. So we have to be careful. The standard that we need to judge ourselves is Jesus Christ. And we use the standard of Jesus Christ, we'll find out that we fall very short, and we need to repent. So, you know, they all believe these things. This would be like, as I said, Jesus coming to us and telling us we need to repent. So that's the first fact. Fact two is that they needed to redirect their lives because their understanding of God's purposes and objectives was incorrect. And important things is, do we understand why we're here? Do we understand the purposes that God has set us forth to do? That's the important thing. Some of them saw that they misunderstand God's purposes, and you know what? They was open to repenting. And some of them said, I don't care what you say. Hey, I'm Abraham's seed. No, Jesus got that a lot, remember?
Yeah.
We told him to repent. Wait a minute. I'm Abraham's seed. I'm covered. My pedigree covers me. Most Jews do not think that they misunderstand God's purposes. Therefore, I do not need to repent. And, you know, we talked about this before. Historically, the church started out basically all Jewish and ended up primarily all Gentile. Primarily because the Jews said, wait a minute, I'm God's chosen. So we have to be careful. Especially as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we don't get, as we say, the big head. Or the holy head, I should say. Now, to illustrate the problem, now let's look at the Great Commission. The Great Commission tells us in Matthew 28, and this is the great. First, I talked about the limited. Now, this is the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Matthew 28:19-20. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Now, when we read that, it talks about evangelism. Now, when most evangelists read that, we get that general understanding. We need to go and make disciples. Now, and we can be impressed by the efforts. I really like the work that we're doing. The fact that we're doing door hanging and the fact that we're going out there and doing those things. You know, just the other day, I think Brother Johnson said, if you met a lady and had a conversation. I met a guy and had a conversation, and he was into Indians and spirituality and stuff like that. When you talk to people, you basically got to take them where they are.
Right.
Take them where they are. You know, I didn't try to get the Holy Ghost after, you know, get the evil spirit or anything like that. But I told him, you know, he told me all his objections of organized religion. I said, we're not organized religion.
You said it like that?
Yeah. You know, but you know, I was just assuring you, we're not part of that. So just come in, you know, come and check us out. And I truly hope he does. I truly hope he does. But see, there's a lot of things out there. And so now I would not have met this gentleman had we not been doing the door hanging.
Amen.
Had we not gone in that area. You know, we sat down and between us, and when all is said and done, Brother Dice said, okay, this is the game plan. Boom, we're going to do this. So boom, we hit it. We knocked it out. And so I met this gentleman. We had a very, very good, conversation. And his question was the direction he's taking his children in. And he's concerned about his children. I said, that's great. Come and check us out. You know, gave him my number. You know, give me a call. Maybe we can set up a Bible study. And I hope that pans through. I hope that works out. So I appreciate that. I also understand that we can do more. We can do more. We can do a lot more. But I also understand that we're doing a lot more than others. But, you know, this is not a competition. And in the end, the Lord is not going to put all churches of Christ, you know, well, okay, I'll give you 5 points, I'll give you 10 points. We do what we do because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And, you know, and when we think about it, we can be doing more. But we're doing something. And that's beautiful. Because it's easy to get caught up in a rut in the four walls of, okay, I'm in worship service and this is all I need. When I leave out of here, I got mine. People out there need to get theirs. So it's very easy. It's so we kind of got out of the our shell of protection and went out in the area. And you might just meet people out in the area. And that's what evangelism, because it says go. So it's a go, therefore. It didn't tell us to wait. It says go, therefore, and make disciples. So when we look closely at the Great Commission, the statement made by the resurrected Jesus Christ, who is given all authority by God, the first thing we notice is that the reason, there was a reason for going into all the world to share the good news. The reason was to what? Make disciples. Make disciples. A disciple is a follower of a teacher. In this case, the person who wanted to be followed was Jesus' teaching. So if I'm teaching Jesus, I'm making a disciple after Jesus' teaching. So we're making disciples. If ever there was a man who lived by the principles that he taught, that was Jesus. Jesus walked the walk, talked the talk. So when you saw Jesus, you saw a living sermon, walking and doing. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, these were baptized men and women who, when you read the scriptures, what amazes me is they wanted to be disciples. You know what is that? They wanted to be disciples. When you got somebody like Paul, you read the scriptures, Paul was persecuting the church when he was Saul. And he scattered the church. Now, the church was centralized right there in Jerusalem, and there was not a lot of movement. And, you know, the providence of God, here comes the crazy man, Saul, wanted to destroy the church. That was his mission in life, was to destroy the way. But when he would persecute, they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word, preaching the gospel. So, I tell you, these people wanted to be disciples. And a lot of times you read, they did not need to be convinced that they needed to be disciples. It seems like sometimes, and we all fall in a rut, but sometimes it's like, okay, first of all, hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized. Okay, we get them. And now you got to spend a lifetime convincing the baptized person. Okay, now you need to be a disciple. I don't want to do it. I don't want it. Oh, you need, then you got to motivate them. Come on, let's go, let's go. When I read scriptures, you know, I don't see that. Not to be. Now, did they have that problem? Yes, because the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says the time you ought to be what?
Teachers by now.
What? You got to now go back to the first principles. Okay? Faith comes by what?
Hearing
by the word of God. So you start from the basics. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes they're good. We all fall in the ruts. You know, I sit comfortably. Okay, this is a comfortable setting. There's nobody trying to kill me or anything. Got brothers and sisters in Christ that love me. I know you do, and I love you too. And so it becomes a very comfort. I get in a comfort zone. Okay, now we got to go out. Oh, boy, we got to go out in the neighborhood. Them people don't like me out there. But you read the scriptures. It wasn't like, okay, the disciples were not begging. When they were scattered, they didn't say, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They knew what they had to do. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. So, there was a reason to go out now in the world, make disciples. Second, these people wanted to be disciples. They did not have to be convinced. They baptized the person because he wanted to be a disciple. So it's kind of artificial to separate baptism and the commitment to discipleship. So, okay, we just want to get them in. And that's true. And sometimes we have that mindset. The world is so lost, we just need to get them in. Once we just get them in. Do you believe? Yeah, okay, that's enough. Okay, now you need to be a disciple. Oh, I ain't signed up for that. So now the convincing. And Brother Johnson, I know, sometimes it's frustrating when people don't want to get up and do things. It can be frustrating. And when you ask and you ask and ask, hey, sometimes I'm on the other end, not living up to the commitments and so forth. Because why? You get into a rut and you get comfortable. It's like, okay, I'm covered. Just like those Jews. Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in all God's commandments. I'm the chosen person. I'm set. Like, okay, I've changed my position. I'm in a different position. You know, my practices might be the same, but my past position was out in the world, but now I'm positioned in Christ. I have a covering now. I have I have a shield of faith. There's a hedge of protection put around me. And you know what? I can get comfortable in that. I can get very comfortable in that and not do. So I don't read that where there was a lot of begging to be a disciple. These people wanted to be. And he says, men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do? And those same people that said, what must we do, were the same individuals that were getting persecuted, the same individuals that took off when they were being persecuted and preached the gospel. They were being disciples. So they taught that Jesus Christ teaching. They taught that in order to keep God's instructions, you had to teach God's or teach Jesus' teachings. The teachings did not involve, you know, church buildings and programs and such, because that didn't, you know, that didn't exist. Programs are good. We have several programs here, and we also have some foreign efforts too that we support. They're doing great jobs and great works. Now, I can't wait till Moses comes back. The last time he was here, and he was talking about how he, you know, went out and then the dogs attacked him. You remember that?
Yep.
And what got me, he said, okay, the next day when we went back, I'm thinking, went back. He went back. And he said, some of our people, we had to dress their wounds. But, you know, when we went back the next day, like, you went back. Oh, God. You know, I would just pray and hope that I have that type of strength. If ever that happens to me, he went back. So, there's a failure to understand God's basic emphasis cause us a problem? Yes, it does. We baptize a number of people, unfortunately, that neither have the desire nor the commitment to be the disciples of Jesus. Again, I'm not judging. This is an observation. Observation of being in the church since, I don't know, 87. So it's 20 plus years. It's just an observation. And this goes back to, you know, planting the seed and the heart, what type of heart it is and so forth. You see members getting baptized and you see members come, you see them on fire and stay and get rooted. And you see those, the cares of life, they go. You see this and it's sad. So we spend years trying to teach the baptized person the need to be a disciple when he or she has no desire to live that type of lifestyle as a disciple. See, being a disciple means also changing your life. Means living the life. Brother Johnson touched on that this morning. It's not just something that we talk about, it's something that we live. We will not convert the world to Christ. We won't convert it through politics. Mm-mm. Because in the scriptures, that were, you know, the church was not concerned with what was going on in Roman Senate.
Amen.
What was going on with Caesar.
Say it.
And there's a lot of Christians out there waiting for a political messiah to come in. and part the waters and the Moses. You know what? God didn't put it that way, and it's not going to happen. How is the world going to change? Through me and through you. Not some political messiah. It's not going to happen. Not even through programs. Programs are important. Superior programs. It's not going to happen just because it's a responsibility. It has to be something that I want to do. Or because we find an effective way to win in competition. That's not going to do it either. We will give meaning and appeal to what we teach by a lifestyle based on the love of Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to win people. That's how you're going to win people. Yes, it's important for us to distribute CDs, put out. And matter of fact, the guy I was talking to, when I gave him the package, says, yeah, in Lyons Township, I know what these CDs are. And so, you know, we talked, and he said, you know what? Do you believe in the providence of God? He says, oh, yeah, I believe in the providence of God. I said, I believe it was God's providence for me to come down the street. And the whole thing was there was a little baby deer that ran across. That's how I ran into him. I said, wow, did you see that? That was a baby deer. And everybody, yeah, he was stuck in there. I said, great, shake your hands. And I went on, you know, hanging more. And so as I finished this block, we were done and coming back, the guy said, wait a minute, I need to talk to you about something. You know, I got a question. And so that's when we began to talk. And he's talking about organized religion. I assured him about this congregation. Now, hastening on, we're going to close with this. In Luke 13, 1 to 5, and this kind of hits home here. It says, now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galatians, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, do you suppose that these Galatians were greater sinners than all other Galatians? Or Galileans, I should say, because they suffered this fate. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? Once again, he makes the same statement. I tell you, no. Unless you do what? Repent, you all likewise perish. Now, suffice it to say that both of these two instances, these they were unexpected, and bad things happen. Now, the thing is, now how do you explain this? The Galatians, it says, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. What were they doing? They weren't sacrificing to idols. They were not sacrificing to idols. They were offering God sacrifices. And they were being killed. How do you explain something representing security and safety? Once again, people unexpectedly being killed. You know, they were just like us in that the usual occurrences needed an explanation. You need to explain this. Now, how is that? They were giving sacrifices. Here, Pilate. Where was that hedge of protection? Now, we explain it today. Well, they must have done something bad. That's why. That's why they need it. And see, Jesus said, no, that wasn't it. That's the wrong explanation. He said, people were really doing something evil, they were really bad, and God was punishing them. Jesus said, no, that's the wrong explanation. Jesus said something astounding to them. If understood, it was just as astounding to us. He said, those people were no more in need of repentance than you are. In fact, if you do not repent, if you don't repent, God will destroy you. So, yeah, it was in repentance, but you were in repentance too. You are in need of repentance too. Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to religious people. He wasn't talking to a bunch of sinners, evil people, bunch of whoremongers. And matter of fact, a lot of times he found solace in eating and dining with them. Sometimes the worst opposition he got were from the religious people. So what does that tell us? We have to be careful about our walk. We got to be careful that we don't get so self-righteous that, okay, I'm protected. I'm in the church. I'm in the Church of Christ, the only church you read about in the Bible. I'm safe. Because the Bible also says there are few that be that find it. I want to be part of that few. And just because I'm in a building that has a marquee over it that says Church of Christ does not guarantee me a place in heaven. Does not guarantee me a place in heaven. These people were not more in need of repentance than any of us. You want to help teach society. You want to help teach the world the whole concept of repentance. Then what must we do? We have to live the life that repents. We have to live that life and show it forth. And we have to, you know, and then when we baptize people, it's not that we have to beg them to be disciples because they see it in us. And they say, I want to do what you do. Yes, we need to be encouraged. There's a need to motivate. Because the Bible tells us that we need to reprove. We need to rebuke. We need to edify, too. There needs to be edification. We can't grow with fire and brimstone hell sermons every single Sunday. And that's what I came up under, Lord's Church. That's all. At every Sunday morning, that's what Brother Hall had the chalkboard, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Every single Sunday for like 8 years straight in the morning. In the evening, he let us preach. And that's when, you know, you really had to study and you found out, you know, there's a lot more in there than that. And he let us preach a lot more than what, but for him, no matter where he started, that's where he ended up. Within 3 minutes of his sermon, he went to hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized. I remember once we left the chalk off there, and boy, that was interesting. That was interesting. So use your life to show people how to live for Christ. Live your life in a way that shows people how to repent. Show people how to repent. So if you're here today, and I see that we're talking to the saints. If you're here today, and if you want the prayers of the church, repentance in and of itself, we can talk about it, but it does take some effort. And yes, we need the prayers of the saints. So if you're here today, you need the prayers of the saints, you can do so and ask for prayers as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.